you can share the topics that drive the discussions of your favorite talk shows with TalkStream Live's topic-driven talk radio.
We gotta talk. Take a drive.
List and promote real-time talk radio topics, or post the topics that you want to hear. Hot topics are tweeted and retweeted, and include simple click-to-listen audio links. The future of talk radio is topic-driven talk radio. Available now at TalkStreamLive.com.
He became a millionaire by the age of 30, but ended up in bankruptcy, losing it all by the age of 40. The amazing story of one man driven to the brink of death after becoming the victim of an embezzlement scheme. After planning his own suicide, he turned to God and discovered a secret so powerful that it changed his life forever. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle is more than just one man's story of beating the odds and rebuilding his life after a total financial collapse. It's a book that reveals a life-changing prayer method that anyone can use to find hope during life's darkest financial trials. You will learn how to enlist God's help in solving your financial problems. The biggest prayer mistake most people make when approaching God with a financial need. How prayer can provide you with immediate answers and direction to your most pressing financial issues. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, an Amazon.com bestseller from James L. Paris, the editor of ChristianMoney.com. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, available in paperback or for Kindle from Amazon.com. You're listening to Jim Paris Radio.
This is Jim Paris Live. Your source for money and political conversation from a Christian perspective. And now your host, the author of more than 20 books, and the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com, James L. Paris.
All right, hello everybody, and welcome to another edition of the broadcast. This is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of the website ChristianMoney.com. We're going to bring him on here in just a couple of moments. Before we get to Andy, again, we are pre-recorded. Just to let you know, next week, which is the 4th of July weekend, we're also going to be running a replayed show. It won't be a fresh show for you. We're going to replay a show. It's probably going to be the L.A. Marzulli interview that we just did, which got huge, huge downloads. When we put that one online, but we're going to probably rerun that one on July the 4th. A couple of quick announcements. For those of you that support us when you shop at Amazon.com, we want to thank you. And for those that are wondering what that's all about, here's the deal. Amazon has what's called an affiliate program. It's sort of like a referral program. And if we refer someone to Amazon, they give us a small percentage payment based on what you buy over there. And we have it set up now for you with a direct URL. All you've got to do is type in shop.christianmoney.com, and that takes you directly to Amazon. Everything's exactly the same. All of the products are the same. All of the prices are the same. The only thing is, when you buy something, instead of Amazon getting to keep all of the money, they give a little bit of it back to us. So it's a pretty cool way for you to support us without having to send us any money. And we love when you do that. A lot of people have told me they're making little note cards and taping them to their computer screen. Other people are telling me they're bookmarking that URL. But again, it's real easy to remember. It's shop.christianmoney.com, shop.christianmoney.com. Well, this last week, my wife and I, spending a lot of time, she's a school teacher, and so she's just getting off school for the summer. And we put a lot of things off, like a lot of people do, until you have time. So she now has some free time, and we're sort of dealing with reshopping our auto insurance and, you know, things like that that you deal with, you know, when you get a little bit of a break in your schedule. And one of the things we're doing right now is we're in the process of switching over completely to Christian medical sharing. My wife, Ann, who is a school teacher, she's going to stay on her school-provided insurance plan. But myself and my two younger children, I'm already on Christian medical sharing. I got on there in August of last year. We're moving over our two younger children to the plan as well. So we're doing all that paperwork and everything on that. In addition to you know, me being on that, we're now going to have the other two kids on there. And I'll tell you why we did this. Plain and simple, the cost of insurance is just going through the roof. Even though my wife has really great insurance through her employer being a teacher, they don't give it to her for free. They subsidize it, especially her coverage as the employee. But then when it comes to adding the family, it's not really subsidized all that much. But the truth is that over the last 2 or 3 years, it's just gone through the roof. So we've moved over to Christian Medical Sharing really as a family. My wife's still on her plan. It's an interesting concept, and I know a lot of you have been asking me about it. We've got a bunch of information on it. In fact, this week I spent the entire week writing a special report on Christian Medical Sharing and how it works, and that's something that we're going to be releasing next month, this special bonus report. But if you want to get some information on this today to see if this might be for you, if you're getting frustrated with the cost of insurance, you might not know this, but Christians can opt out of Obamacare and get into this Christian Medical Sharing. And if you want to do that, we have a special URL set up for you. Just go to medicalsharing.christianmoney.com. That's medicalsharing.christianmoney.com. All right, let's welcome our guest to the program. It's the first time he's with us. His name is Andy Traub, and his background is kind of interesting. He was born in Indiana, but now he lives in the exciting state of South Dakota. And his background is he was a pastor, he was an insurance salesman, and now he's an internet marketer doing all kinds of exciting things, including the launch of his most recent book, The Early to Rise Experience. Andy Traub, welcome to Jim Paris Live.
Hey, Jim, thanks for having me on. I think some people might be concerned about my soul because I went from pastor to insurance salesman to internet marketer. But I assure you, my soul is intact and I am good with the Lord. So thanks for having me on, brother.
That was quite a slide there, huh? I mean, some might be able to understand maybe the move from pastor to insurance agent, but then to hit rock bottom like you did to become an internet marketer.
Well, let's just see if some people hang out and listen for a while and see if I'm legit or not. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, that's my world as well. Everybody knows, of course, that I make my full-time living from the internet. So we're going to get into a lot of stuff here today. And as I said, I think you're an interesting guy. That's why I bought your book off of Amazon and read it, and I honestly didn't know who you were at all. And then I start finding connections between you and Dan Miller and you and Dave Ramsey. And then I'm figuring out that you're a Christian and you actually do podcasting and internet marketing and other things. And I thought, man, this would be a really interesting guy to bring on the program to talk about a lot of different things. Let's start by talking about the book, The Early to Rise Experience. And then I want to talk about kind of the ebook marketing side, but which I'm also excited about. Tell people, give us a quick overview of what this book is about. And I'll tell you that I am not a morning person, but the book has really started to help me become more of a morning person.
Well, congratulations. I'm proud of you. you know, most people would say they're not weightlifters or they're not runners. But they're, you know, but you don't have to, you know, get buff every day and you have to run 20 miles to be a runner. And that's really how I want people to think about the idea of rising early. I don't expect people to get up at 4 a.m. And a quick story, because people usually ask me one simple question, which is, how early is early? And I want to tell you in all seriousness, this is not a joke at all. I had a woman, and early for her was noon, Jim, because
the crack of
disabled.
Noon, as I
right.
say.
Right, but she's disabled. She cannot work. She
okay.
is on full government care, and so she'll probably never work again. But she so didn't like her life that she said, I would sleep till 2 and 3 in the afternoon. I would watch television all day long until I fell asleep at night at 2 or 3 in the morning, and that was the cycle she was on. And so for her, a shift was noon. And I
wow.
tell that story to people because it's about changing your life. And you're not going to change your life until you change your behavior. And I'm a father of three very young children, 5, 4, and 2 are the age of my children. And if I'm going to get other stuff done, if I'm going to grow in my walk with the Lord, if I'm going to write, if I'm going to take time to think, it is selfish for me to come home from work and say to my wife, honey, I know I had a long day at work, but I just need to decompress and I need an hour by myself. That's not going to happen. That's not fair to her. And so what I did is I started to, because I wanted my life to change, I changed what time I got up. And I simply just shifted. I went to bed a little earlier and I got up a lot earlier. And I realized I didn't need as many hours of sleep as I was getting. I was getting about 8. I really only need about 6.5 or you know, maybe seven. And I simply found time that I didn't know I had before. And you're not tempted to do things like check Facebook and, you know, mess around with your email at 7 or 6 in the morning because there's no one else to talk to, right? And so I wrote the book because I wanted to change my life. And I don't tell people what they have to do. I simply give them and help them figure out a place for them to do it. And that is those early morning hours. And you would be shocked at how much it will change your life.
And what's amazing to me about you is this is the first ebook that you have. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is this your first book that you've published? Okay. So the guy publishes his first book, folks, and the book is, I mean, it's just going fantastic for him. I was on one of your live workshops you did a few days ago, and you'd said something like you've made like $27,000 in royalties so far just this year, being a very first time, you know, published author, selling your book only on Amazon. Tell us a little bit about how exciting that is to have your first book and have such a great success right out of the box.
Well, it's awesome. It's freeing. It's empowering. It's undeserved in a lot of ways. It's surprising in some ways. It's not surprising in others. So let me explain that. The reason it's exciting is because the borrower is slave to the lender. And I don't have any people that I owe money to anymore other than my home, which will pay off sooner than later. And so we become debt-free because of this book. And that is great for my relationship with my wife and great for just my relationship with my work and great for my relationship with credit cards because I don't have one anymore. And so that has been a huge part of my spiritual walk, my provision as a husband, and then the other part of that is, yeah, just to have something out there and it be able to impact so many people. I mean, the 27,000, 28,000 I'm up to now, the other cool number is 5,500 or 5,500, which is about how many people have purchased the book. And those are people from all over the world who are getting up earlier. Not all of them, but a lot of them, thousands, I can say with confidence, are now getting up earlier and they're taking control of their lives. And no, those people were not morning people, right? But they're becoming it because they're all people who wanted to change their life in some way, but they couldn't find the time to do it. And time is like land. You know, we're not building any more land. It God made it, and it's there, right? And God doesn't give us any more time, right? As we develop as people, we don't get more time. We actually are getting less. We feel more and more busy. And so what I'm doing in the book is I'm teaching people how to find the best time to do the best with their life. And I think that's morning. And some people argue with me and say, well, it's night. And I say, okay, good luck and God bless. I'm going to bed. but I think for most people, it's in the morning. And I just want to speak to anyone in their mind right now that says this guy's wacko and I'm never going to become a morning person. And here's what I want to say to you. Is if you can be productive at night, great. Keep being productive. But I want to challenge people, have you ever gotten up early for a flight and been tempted to go watch Netflix or tempted to go get on Facebook at 5 in the morning, right? The point is when we are later in the day, we shut down. We're out of motivation. We're out of energy. We're not sharp anymore. We're dull. And so we do things that dull us even more. And listen, I love Netflix. I love Redbox. I love entertainment. But what I really like is I like to create. I like to be productive. I like to become sharper myself. And so that morning time is the time when we're fresh and the world has not yet told us you're too busy and you're behind. Late at night, we're tired. We don't have much left in the tank. And so, yes, a few people, Jim, are okay at night, but most of us, our creative time, our uninterrupted time, our purest time, I like to say ideas are always talking to us, but it's the morning when we can hear them because it's quiet. And so if you want more ideas, if you want more clarity, if you want more peace in your life, I don't think that's going to happen at midnight because you're just going to fall asleep. I think it's going to happen earlier in the morning. And so the book is very practical, all the way down to what apps you can run on your phone. You know, should you use snooze? Should you not use a snooze? Should you use 4 alarm clocks? You know, how to watch less television, all those sort of things. And it's also, you know, hopefully inspirational that, hey, here are some things you can do in the morning that will change your life and make a habit out of it.
And one of the things I've got to get your reaction to is because I heard you allude to this. I don't know if it was on this workshop or if it was on an audio I was listening to from your website. But being a first-time author, dealing with Amazon customer reviews, and there are people that will literally rip your heart out. And when you put up a, you know, a book on Amazon, you think that, you know, well, hey, I like my book and I think I did a good job writing it. And so you put it up there and people start buying it. And then you start getting into some of the one-star reviews that can just be outright hateful. And to sort of prepare people, we've got a lot of listeners to our show that are ebook writers, and we have a training program on that as well. How do you deal with the rejection and the criticism that you get when you are out there in the public with a book like that?
Well, I'd like to say it doesn't affect me, but anytime someone says your work stinks or attacks you personally, it doesn't feel good, right? But, you know, you have to understand, I've got about 175 reviews on the book, and about 5 are people that they just didn't like it. And I'm sorry, and I offer them their money back, or you know, some people actually didn't even buy the book. They didn't read the book.
They still didn't. They didn't like it, and they didn't get it. So everybody's happy,
right,
I guess.
Right. So, yeah. So at least they saved $8 or whatever. But at the end of the day with those people, I think that if you ask me separately, you know, you and I are sitting down and have coffee. Hey, Andy, out of 175 people, how many of them do you think are just not very happy? And I would say, I don't know, like all out miserable. And you say, yeah. And I'd say, I don't know, probably 10 or 20. And so I'm kind of happy I only have, you know, under 10 one-star reviews. Because out of the, you know, out of that many reviews, it could be a lot worse. But yeah, it's weeks, and
we had an author on,
you know?
We had an author on last week who has a book out about how to pray when you're angry at God. And one of the reviews that I looked at, one of the reviews that I looked at on his site was someone that was upset with him about something that happened 10 years ago when he was working at a radio station, and they called in and he wasn't very kind to them when they called the station. And that was their review of his book. Like you said, they hadn't even gotten the book. They just found that he had a book out and said, hey, this is a chance for me to vent my anger over what happened, you know, a few years back. But it is interesting when you get out there. But one of the things that I'm sure you would agree on, and if you read any of these, you know, books on how to make money with your own ebook on Amazon, the whole idea of reviews, that you've got to have the reviews. And I learned this kind of the hard way. I had a lot of people buying my book, and I just had a handful of reviews, and I had to literally like start a campaign to get reviews. And even up just until like a couple of weeks ago, I still was struggling. I only had about maybe 30 reviews of my book, my newest book. And so I did an email blast to my whole email list, and I gave them an actual link, not to the book page, but the actual review page of the book. Because I had given away like almost 5,000 copies of the book through a couple of different promotions through Amazon. And finally, when I did that, where they just had to do one click and they were right there in the box where they fill it out, I got another 30-plus reviews. So now I'm up in the 60s. But having a lot of reviews, it's really important, isn't it?
Well, if I said to you, Jim, you know, I'm going to put my credibility on the line and tell you that you need to go to this restaurant, and it's the absolute best restaurant you could ever have. It's got the best burger you'll ever taste. The service is phenomenal. You just need to go. And you'd say, well, what's the name of the restaurant? And I tell you, and maybe further down the line, you'd say, well, how much does it cost? And the reason I bring up that example is because cost is not the number one determiner of someone's purchase. Purchases are emotional decisions. That's an emotional transaction before it's a financial one. Emotionally, you say yes before physically you hand the money over. And what reviews are is they are mostly unbiased social proof. And so I have a few posts I've written on my site at takepermission.com about self-publishing, and one of them is that four-star reviews are more powerful than five-star reviews. Because five stars, you know, my mom would write a five-star review. She didn't. She couldn't write
right.
reviews.
Right.
But you know, a four-star review is, it was really, really good. Was it perfect? No. But, you know, and so it's nuances like that. But I would just say if you're into publishing and you want to publish, you absolutely need to empower people. The last page of your book should be, hey, here's a link to the book page. Please go leave a review. That should be the last page of your physical book as well as your digital book. And then Amazon, if you're on an Amazon situation, then it will pop up, hey, you finished the book, would you like to review it? But most people say no. But if it's a picture of you with your family and, you know, a little heart hug, then people will go. So, yes, you have to equip people, encourage people to do that. Maybe even halfway through your book, say, hey, how's this book treating you? If it's been good, go leave a review for me. But the thing I've done that's really helped my book sales the most, actually two things. And number one is when you buy the book, you get everything, meaning you get the audio version, you get every kind of PDF version as well as the Kindle version when you buy it through Amazon.com, and you get those when you opt into an email. But the email, the great part about that is that for the next 30 days, you get an email from me every day in the morning. I think it arrives at like 3 a.m., and so you can wake up and read that day's passage. And that's why it's Early to Rise Experience. It's more a program than it is a book. And so people are really connected with that because there's audio embedded in the email. There's audio embedded in the book. And so some people don't read the book at all. They read the first couple chapters, and then the day-to-day, the 30 days, it's more like a devotional or a passage each day. They can listen to me. So a lot of guys will say, hey, Andy, I listen to you while I shave. You know, while I'm brushing my teeth. Because, you know, it's 300, 500 words. It doesn't take that long to read or listen to it. So I over-deliver in that way. And so I get about 30% of my readers who buy the book opt into that email. And then it's for the next 30 days they're getting that audio as well as a daily reminder. And they really appreciate that extra value. And that's the kind of stuff I'm starting to teach people now is how do you provide extra value? Because my book's $8, Jim. I mean, that's not cheap for a digital product, but when when you add in the audio included free, and you add in 30 days of email updates, you know, but that's a bargain. I mean, a lot of people.
Yeah, when you consider some of the audio versions are like $20. You know, for the audio version of the book, you've got to pay almost like twice the cost of the book to get the audio version, and you also had to buy the book to begin with. You don't get it all in one
package. Yeah, and I think that's stupid, and I hate it. And so I said, well, hey, I'm my own publisher. So if you go to Amazon.com and you find my book, then you'll see on the front cover of the book very prominently it says audio version included free. And ironically, one of my one-star reviews, my latest, is from a guy who didn't buy my book who says, Andy, the book's been out for months. Why isn't there an audio version I can buy? And because I'm giving it to you for free.
It's free. You know, if you buy just the $7.99
version. I haven't hooked it up to audible.com as his complaint, you know.
Right.
You know, so anyway, the point is over-deliver with people. Over-deliver. Why, if you're your own publisher, act like you would want to be treated as a consumer. And I think it's stupid that we make people pay for the same thing seven different ways. You know, so I give them everything.
Now, in my own case, I was traditionally published for many years before I got into this whole world of self-publishing. And, you know, I know you know people like Dan Miller and Dave Ramsey, and I know both of them myself as well. Is it your feeling now for you personally as a younger person that you're probably not going to go to the traditional publishing world, that this is your path and you're going to stick with this path, or do you sort of have the door open a little bit if somebody were to, you know, come to you with a traditional publishing offer that you might also consider that as well?
You know, I would cons- I think everyone should consider an offer if it's respectable, but the only traditional publishing offer I've ever received, it was no advance, and it was something like, you know, 8% of royalties or something. And so if I would have done that deal, let's say I sold $40,000 worth of product, which is an approximation, but I think it's pretty close. You know, 8% of that is, you know, is that $3,000, or is that even?
Yep, about $3,200.
Yeah. So it's three, yeah. Or I can make 27.
27,000.
Right. You know. So
yeah, even
I'm,
for those
I'm,
of us that aren't good at math.
Calculator in front of me, you know. But you know what I mean. I mean, so if someone came to me, and the only reason I would go to a traditional publisher is if they can get me in front of people that I can't get in front of otherwise. And they certainly, there's a place for it, and but because they're not taking risks, and risk is dollars, because they're taking less risks on authors, they're just saying, we won't give you an advance, or we'll give you a smaller advance, or whatever. You know, no, I'm not going to go to one. Like, the next version of the book is Early to Rise for Moms. There's going to be actually two different books, version one, and, or volume one and volume two, because around 78% of the people who purchased my book were moms. And about 90% of the were women, and about 90% of those women were moms. And so this conversation kept coming up around moms and how they have unique needs. And so I had 53 women who read my book help me write the next two volumes. So
wow.
53 moms helped me write these passages for the next two books. Now I'm going to write the beginning. It's still being, but it'll be out in about August, mid-August. But the bottom line is, I can crowdsource that. They're excited to be in a book, and I can have my team put it together, and I can publish it. It might cost me $1,000 to do that between editing and, you know, formatting and cover and all that kind of stuff. And a traditional publisher is going to give may give me an advance, may not. But then they're only going to give me a certain percentage of royalties versus Amazon's going to give me 70%. You know, I mean, I woke up today and Amazon had put $6,000 in my bank account last night, you know.
Yeah, and that's crazy when you think about traditional publishing too. One of the things that always frustrated me was their payment schedule. You know, you come up with an idea for a book, and from the time you get that idea to the time you actually see any money – In my own case, it could be like 2 or 3 years later by the time the book gets through the entire process and is actually printed and on a bookstore shelf and then starts selling. And then the accounting part of the contract kicks in, and then they start actually physically owing me money. It's years down the road, and you're right, it's pennies on the dollar compared to what you can do in self-publishing.
Yeah, and so the question then is, why doesn't everybody self-publish? Well, and how do you stick out when you do self-publish? And so if anybody wants to turn off the radio after this, they can. So, because here's the nugget. Here's the golden nugget. You ready? Is how are you successful in self-publishing is you have to be generous. It's the law of reciprocity. If our first engagement, Jim, like our first interaction is, hey, Andy, I want to give you my platform. Would you like to be on my show? That's humbling. Like, I owe you one. Like, when we get together, I'm buying coffee, right?
Okay,
and
it sounds good.
Within a publishing situation, and a customer, or an author and a customer, you have to be generous. And so the very first thing I did was I gave away my entire book to anyone who wanted it up to a certain date before it was published. And I got 750 people to sign up. And I delivered it via email. From those 750 people, they gave me feedback. They helped me pick out the cover. And then when the book launched on day one, all those people had the book free already. And you know what? They still sell, hundreds of them still bought the book. I mean, they had it, right? Because I gave it to them, but they still bought the book because our first interaction was me being generous, right?
And they're like a partner in the project. It's more than a customer. It's like a partner. They were part of the entire process. And you know, one of the things you know, that I look at when I look at traditional publishing, sometimes if you start connecting the dots, for example, my friend Dave Ramsey, you know, if you look at okay, I think his bigger books are published by Thomas Nelson, and that's now called HarperCollins Christian, and it's owned by News Corp, which is actually, you know, the same organization that owns Fox News. And then you start connecting the dots that he used to have a show on Fox News, and he's on Fox and Friends a lot and so forth. And that's an occasion where you could say, okay, that might be like a good traditional publishing arrangement for him, because clearly by him having that in with his book with News Corp being the publisher, then he can get on Fox News and use that for promotion. So there are occasions where, you know, the right connections, the right opportunities are certainly worth looking at. But so many times today, as you outlined, that traditional publishers, they don't really have much to offer. They're basically saying, look, we'll do your book for you. We'll put it out there, and we'll give you this tiny percentage. And there was a time when, because you had to get your book into a bookstore, you really needed them for distribution. And the idea of print on demand wasn't here. The idea of Kindles and ebooks and all of that wasn't here. And now, really, with this whole new world, as much as I love, you know, especially a couple of the publishers I work with, one of them, Harvest House Publishers, I just love the people there. I don't see a good business reason to go back. And I almost feel bad about that. Like, wow, you know, here I am. They've published all these books for me over the years, and now I'm doing this on my own, and I can get the books out quicker. I can make the lion's share of the money. I have total control of the process, and, you know, I'm getting paid monthly instead of waiting for like a business year to close out and then get a check 3 months after that. And they've always paid me. They've always paid me everything they've owed me. They've always paid me as the contract said they should pay me. I have no complaints with any of that, but I'm just an entrepreneur by heart, and I just love this new opportunity that we all now have.
Yeah, so something has to change. And so, you know, I am now, and this is funny because I did not set out to be an expert on this stuff. I simply just tried stuff because I was like, this is what I would want as a customer. And so I tried stuff. And then I started getting people going, hey, Andy, can I sit down with you and talk about what you did to publish your book? And it's a lot like Dave Ramsey with his Entree Leadership book. Is he had enough people coming to his classes when he was teaching them at Lampo Group at his business, he realized a lot of these people, he had more than half of the class that was coming to hear him teach on leadership were not actual employees. And so he went, oh, wait, here's a business opportunity, right? So that's what's happened to me. I have had enough people ask for my time, and I don't need to drink that much coffee, right, to have a coffee conversation about this.
Right.
But I said, you know, I'm going to build an online course to help people figure out exactly how I set up my website, how I deliver the bonuses, how I deliver the free version, how I capture those email addresses, how I deliver the audio after people buy the book, how I embed my audio links inside the book, all that kind of stuff, because I can't teach everybody how to do it all the time. So I made like 30 videos and checklists and all that kind of stuff. And in the next month, I'll launch that, and people can learn how to self-publish, because the bottom line is competition is good. And will I ever use a traditional publisher? If the check is big enough, yes, I will. But
I'm with you on that. Hey, we've got a break coming up. His name is Andy Traub, and his book is Early to Rise, Learn to Rise Early in 30 Days. His website is takepermission.com. Did I get that right, Andy? Takepermission.com. All right, and we're going to take a break. This is a four-minute break, so you can stretch your legs. And when we come back from the break, we're going to ask Andy about podcasting. And in our remaining minutes, we're also going to talk to him about a program he has about email management. And, man, do I need that information, you know, how to tame your email box. So check him out on the Internet, Andy Traub, T-R-A-U-B. He's over at Amazon.com. He's also over at TakePermission.com. This is Jim Paris. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back right after this. Stay tuned. Hello, everybody. This is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com. You know, a couple of years ago, I was out in my neighborhood walking my dog, and I happened to notice an individual cleaning out a foreclosed home. And I do live on one of those streets where there have been a lot of foreclosures. In fact, at one point in time, there were actually 5 empty homes right on the street that I live in Palm Coast. So I struck up a conversation with this individual that was cleaning out this house, and he shared with me how much money that he was making simply cleaning out foreclosed homes and how busy he was. And it really got me thinking about how many people could benefit by getting this information. So I started doing some research to really ask the question, what would be involved in starting up a business like that, the business of cleaning out foreclosed homes? And I found an online course that I think is fantastic. I actually purchased it myself to check it out to make sure it was something that I could recommend. And it goes through the entire process of how to get started in a business like that, how much money you can charge, how to bid jobs, what licenses, if any, might be required in your area. And the author outlines the entire process, actually showing you how you can make between $500 and even $1,000 or more per day just cleaning out foreclosed homes. If you'd like to find out more about it, I want to recommend to you the website foreclosurecleaning.us. That's foreclosurecleaning.us.
He became a millionaire by the age of 30, but ended up in bankruptcy, losing it all by the age of 40. The amazing story of one man driven to the brink of death after becoming the victim of an embezzlement scheme. After planning his own suicide, he turned to God and discovered a secret so powerful that it changed his life forever. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle is more than just one man's story of beating the odds and rebuilding his life after a total financial collapse. It's a book that reveals a life-changing prayer method that anyone can use to find hope during life's darkest financial trials. You will learn how to enlist God's help in solving your financial problems, the biggest prayer mistake most people make when approaching God with a financial need, how prayer can provide you with immediate answers and direction to your most pressing financial issues, how to pray for a financial miracle, an Amazon.com bestseller from James L. Paris, the editor of ChristianMoney.com, how to pray for a financial miracle, available in paperback or for Kindle from Amazon.com. You're listening to Jim Paris Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of the website ChristianMoney.com. You know, about a year ago, I started getting concerned about the cost of our family's health insurance, literally costing us thousands and thousands of dollars each year, and the cost continued to go up and up and up. And I started doing some research into an alternative called Christian Medical Sharing. And I learned that through a special law, a special provision, Christians are able to opt out of Obamacare and actually get into this alternative to traditional health insurance called Christian Medical Sharing. I decided to go ahead and move into a plan like that, and I'm saving a lot of money. Now, if you'd like to find out more about it, get more of the details to find out if it's for you or not, I've written an article on it. In the article, I give you more details, including I actually mention the organization that I decided to go with. If you'd like to get all of the information on this and find out if it might be for you, check out this website, medicalsharing.christianmoney.com. That's medicalsharing.christianmoney.com. Okay, we are back. This is Jim Paris. You're listening to Jim Paris Live. However, this week we are pre-recorded, and next week, 4th of July, we will have a replay for you. We're going to replay the L.A. Marzulli interview, and if you're hearing some rumbling in the background, it is a thunderstorm, and we're at that point here in Central Florida. We're about 2, 3 o'clock every day. We get a horrendous downpour. And that's good because it's over in an hour and we have the rest of the day. My guest is Andy Traub, and he's the author of The Early to Rise Experience, a great book. You can get it over at Amazon. It's an e-book right now, a Kindle book. And we're talking with him about not just his book. We're also talking with him about the process of creating his book and e-book marketing and all of that. And you can find out more about his big plans. He's doing an e-book marketing program that you can sign up for and learn all of his insider secrets. And you can get that by going over to his website, takepermission.com. But I want to transition, Andy, and talk a little bit about podcasting with you. And you were able to really pull off a coup and get Seth, do you pronounce it Godin or Godin? I've heard it pronounced both ways.
You know, the good news is it's Godin, because Godin would just be awkward. You know what I mean?
All right.
So,
there we go.
Seth Godin.
Yeah. It's called the Linchpin podcast, which is based on – he has a book called Linchpin. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Is that what? Yep. Yeah, yeah. I've never read that one. I've got a whole shelf of some of his other books, but I haven't read that one yet. So you went to him and asked him if you could create a podcast, a sort of unofficial podcast based on some of the concepts from the book. You have that podcast going. You have others going as well, isn't that right?
Yeah, I do have some others out there. Lynchman is definitely the largest, and you know, the subtitle of the Lynchman book by Seth Godin is "Are You Indispensable?" And essentially, it is asking the question, "What are you doing to make yourself matter or important?" You know, and I've expanded it to my family, not and my church, not just in work, but his focus is mainly on sort of whatever you're doing within your calling, your workplace, your 9-to-5. And so, yeah, I emailed him and he responded, sure, go ahead. And you have to call it unofficial. But, you know, with his encouragement, I've been running that show for a few years. You know, we don't have a ton of episodes, but the ones we do have impacted a lot of people, and we get, you know, thousands of listens. And so, yeah, and it helped me get the courage to become a paid podcaster. So I just work with a few clients. I don't have a lot because I don't want to spend much time in front of a microphone. But I have a few clients I work with now and help them produce their own podcasts. And it's been a great way for me in South Dakota to reach the world with my thoughts and to reach out to other people really all across the world.
Yeah, let me tell you something weird that I learned about podcasting and get your reaction to this. This show, we actually go live over Blog Talk Radio, which you probably know what that is. But then we have a separate agreement with TalkStream Live. They carry us live at the same time, which gets us into a whole new stream of people. And then, of course, we go up on iTunes and I think about 10 or 12 other directories, podcast directories. But here's the weird thing. We actually started turning our shows into videos, where we simply take the audio and then we put a still shot of me and the guest. That's all that you see during the entire time. And
sure.
we put that now on several different video platforms, and we're finding a ton of people listening that way. And I don't know, I never would have expected that, the idea that people want to go over to like YouTube or GodTube and listen to the podcast that way. But what I hear from people, the advantage of that to them is they don't want to download anything. They don't want to get out their iPod or their MP3 player. They don't want to go through all that stuff. They just want to go and click a button and listen while they're doing something else. And I know that that's becoming more available now with podcasting, where it's just you can go and click and listen to it. But does that make sense to you, why people are actually putting podcasts and audio content up on video platforms?
Well, what it reminds me of is, you know, I got a movie last night from a little kiosk next to Walgreens. And, you know, when I first heard about that idea, I thought it was kind of silly, right? And now, you know, most of the movie, well, I think all the movie stores in my town are closed. And the point is, we need to deliver content where people already are. Don't ask me to go somewhere else. And that's why Netflix has been so popular. That's why these internet-capable televisions are becoming more and more popular, because they're meeting people where they're at. I mean, it's ridiculous to a teenager, the idea that you would get up off of your couch, get in a car, drive somewhere, pick out a movie that the selection is limited, go up to a counter, pay $5 for it, and have to return it in 24 hours.
Or pay another $5 for not returning it on time. Yeah.
Yes, and that's ridiculous to them. They're playing Xbox and they switch over and they go rent a movie, right? Or they stream it live for $8 a month, right? So the reason it makes sense is you need to meet people where they're at in the conversation. And there's two ways to market to people. It goes to marketing in general. And that's why with my publishing, I like to use email, you know, as a way to deliver my book. Because you may or may not surf the web, go to your, you know, go to this site or that site, but you're going to check your email probably every day, and you're probably going to read every one of them. You may not take action, but you're going to read each one of them. And so when I publish or when you're communicating with people, you need to meet them where they already are, and that might be your inbox, or it might be on YouTube or, you know, whatever other station. But if you ask them to do and build a new behavior, most people are going to balk at that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And the idea of delivering content, you know, in different ways, you know, taking the same content and repurposing it, you know, is really powerful, because there are some people that, like, you know, for example, when I do a big article once a week and I publish that to my blog, but I've also found that if I do a video sort of doing an overview of what is in my article, I don't really have it scripted. I have a digital, you know, HD camera here mounted up on my desk, so I use that, and I just sort of do an overview of my article for the people that want to follow me on YouTube and don't want to read the article maybe. And then I say, hey, in the video description below is a link to the article if you also want to read it. And so many of the people will click on the link and then read the article as well. Some will just watch the videos. And we put one video up, which was just a little documentary that we did. It was 19 minutes long, and it's gotten close to 500,000 views right now. And a good chunk of that, about a third of it, was just only audio. And there wasn't any video. It was just like a still picture we had in there. And it's gotten almost 500,000 views so far on YouTube. And we've got that, you know, that pay program set up, that partner program with YouTube. And some days we make over $20 just from that one video that's running that we filmed. It's 2 years ago now that we put that, maybe a year and a half ago that we put that video out there. So it providing all these different repackaging the same information in different ways really is powerful. I want to transition, though, as long as we're talking about email. I was fascinated that you're developing various courses. I don't know how many you have out there, but one of them caught my eye, which was, the deal is, I guess, for about $30, I think it was, someone could pay you, and then they get access to some videos where you share with them your system of managing email. And the two things I'm interested in the content of that, and we can talk about that here in a second, but the idea of somebody just sharing something like that they know how to do, you know, who knows what it could be, you know, how to change the oil on your car or something on the computer, you know, how to get rid of a virus, and you create a short video on that, and then you make that available as an on-demand, if you'll pay me $1 or $5 or $30, I will give you this information. How much of that have you done, and where do you see that business model going as far as people just selling a how-to video directly like that over the internet?
Well, you know, I I'm picturing that really wacky guy with the suit with all the question marks on it, and he
Matthew Lesko,
government grant. Okay, there you go. Okay, so it's that, but you can trust them. Okay, and it doesn't cost as much. I mean, that's God bless him for doing that. It's, you know, I don't know if it's legit or not, but it's like that, except for it's more specific. So the product you're talking about is called Fix Your Inbox. You go to fixyourinbox.com, and the deliverable on that is simply this, and it's very specific. I mean, I've had to give refunds to some people because they didn't understand exactly what it was, even though I think there's like 25 videos, and I give like six of them, of the actual videos, like, here is what you're buying, you know. And I make very, very clear that this is, you need to use Gmail to do this, and I teach how to sort of include all your other emails into it if you have other email addresses. But I have no less than about 15 email addresses from different businesses and things that I participate in, but they all filter through one inbox. And the reason that people purchase it, the reason that I have people lined up to get my self-publishing system, which comes out in August, is because I have taken the time to figure things out, and their time is valuable. So I think it's $27 or something like that for the Fixer Inbox, $29, something like that. So the simple question is, if I can save you 30 minutes a day, Jim, okay, 30 minutes a day, now let's just say it's only during your working, you know, work week, so you're not going to check email on the weekend, even though you do. So, you know, that's 2.5 hours a week, right? Over a month, that's 10 hours. Over a year, that's 120 hours. So I just saved you 3 working weeks.
Wow.
Right? I just gave you 3 weeks of time back to do whatever. Now, is 3 weeks of your time worth $27 or $29? I would hope so. And that's how you provide value to people. This is not me selling it. I don't care if you buy it or not. I'd love for you to. I got 3 kids to feed. God bless you. But if you don't, remember this. you can always make a living if you can provide value to people, if you can save them time. The reason I spend $30 to get my oil changed is not because I can't do it, and not because you know, they do it cheaper. I could do it cheaper, but I don't want to mess with it, right? And so what can you do to provide value to people that saves them time, that empowers them? And so I teach people essentially how to fish. I mean, I'm not going to go in and clean up your inbox. I'm going to teach you the tools to filter, to bring in several different email addresses, to filter emails. On our commercial break, I got an email from a reader of my book on day 8. You know, everyone who buys the book gets an email, and it says, hey, you need to create something and put it out in the world. And so during the break, I was reading this email from the guy, and he says, hey, I put out a podcast episode. I wrote him back. It said, way to go, Brett. Congratulations. Way to go. Right? So, but that filtered to a specific folder in my inbox. So that saved me time. So that's,
yeah,
how you can make a living. Save people time.
The one thing that I did not too long ago, which just helped me immensely, I think I read this in a book, but on my desktop, I just set up a folder that I call follow-up. And what I did was I would just move things into that folder that were not urgent, that didn't really need to be dealt with today, because I would get this stressful, overwhelmed feeling when I would look at my screen and I'd have all of these emails, and I'd, you know, something inside me says clear out your box. So you've got too many emails in there, and you get that feeling when you can't really see all of them without using the scroll bar. Then you know you're in trouble. There's too many emails in there. So I got this idea from a book I was reading. You know, just set up a folder, and I just call it follow up. And those are things that are not really things that I have to respond to in any particular time frame. And I'll just move those kinds of things over there. Sometimes I'll find a website I really like or an article that I want to read, but I don't have time to read it. So I'll send myself a link to that, and I'll put it over in that follow-up folder. And that helps me just to have more focus when I'm actually working during the day, because it's so easy to get just that overwhelmed feeling. You know, other than just like one folder like that, I would imagine somebody smart like you with a whole system on this, are you employing, let's say, multiple different folders for, say, priority levels and those kinds of things to try to keep this all straight?
Well, sure. Yeah, so there's different levels of access for this next product, and one of the product levels will be an email address that only people at the master level get. So I have to make sure I don't use this one, but let's say the email is masterlevel@theselfpublishingsystem.com, right? Because that's the new thing, is theselfpublishingsystem.com. So I can create a filter, so anyone who sends an email to that address goes to a specific folder. And that way it doesn't cloud my inbox, and I can look at it later. For instance, on the weekend, I can say, I'm not going to check all these other folders. Those are all work. But I can check my subscriptions folder. I mean, I even teach people how with a Gmail address, and I don't know if you know this or not, Jim, but we're talking about a lot of different stuff today. This is interesting. So here's a little tip. If you have a Gmail address, if you have a Gmail address and let's say it's Bob, you know, Bob Johnson, okay, at gmail.com. If you add the plus sign and another word, that will still go to your Gmail account. So if Bob wanted to sign up for all of his newsletters using a different email address but have it go to Gmail, he could do bobjohnsonplusnewsletter@gmail.com. It would go to his Gmail account. He could do bobjohnsonplusairlines@gmail.com. Gmail always recognizes that, anything with the plus, as your same email address. So you can use multiple email addresses to sign up in different places. And that way you can know, and then you can route them to different folders. Now, if that sounds overwhelming, it's not, because that's what I teach people to do, right? And once it's set up, it's set up, right? You don't, it's automatic. And so you don't, I might get 100 emails in a day, but 30 of them will go to one folder, and 20 will go to another, and 20 will go to another, right? And as I add businesses and I add products, I can keep adding email addresses, and I can keep adding these filters, and it just sorts it out. It's no different than you don't give your phone number to everybody, right? You filter that out.
Right. Yeah. You know. And what's your view on, I am, you know, I've gone up and down, you know, in my career. You know, I've been on national television a bunch of times and all that. And then I went bankrupt and lost everything when my brother embezzled from me back in 2001. So, and we're sending you a copy of my book. My producer will get with you after the show and mail that to you so you can kind of read my story. But I've always been one of these kind of weird people that I kind of feel like I want to answer all my emails that come in. You know, even if somebody just says, hey, I saw you on TV today and you did great, I'll respond back and say, hey, thank you so much. Just that quick. And I found that I've developed just so many relationships with people over the years doing that. And, you know, is that unrealistic, though, that you continue to answer all your own emails? For example, Dave Ramsey, ever since I met him a few months ago and he had me come to his office and meet with him personally and all that, and we're now good friends, he gave me a special email address. And I'll send him an email, and, like, within 10 minutes, he'll respond back to me. And I don't know that that's something that's available to everybody. I guess it would not be, I would assume. But
no, actually, it is.
It really is.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. I work with some people, and they have different email addresses. Like on stage, Dave might say, you know what, email me, dave@daveramsey.com, which I'm quite sure is not his private email. Right.
And I have a different one than that.
Right. And so my point is he can give one to different people, and I've worked with different people that I kind of go, wow, you know you've made it big when you have to have a secret email address. You know, and they do. They give a different email address to people.
Right.
But it's no different than you don't give everyone your cell phone number. You don't give everyone your social security number, right? And if you do, stop, please. But, you know, it's setting up parameters and rules for access. You don't tell everyone where you live. And in a digital world, this is why I don't accept very many Facebook invites, because I have a private world and a public world. If you want to follow me on Twitter, have at it. You want to be my Facebook friend? We better know each other. We better have a relationship.
Right. You got to try to.
And so it's crazy.
Those lines are getting more and more blurred. And hey, I hate to cut you short, but man, the entire hour just went by. Can you believe it?
Boom.
Fascinating guest, and we're going to definitely have you back. His name is Andy Traub, Traub. His book is The Early to Rise Experience. You can get it at Amazon.com. His website is TakePermission.com, and he's got all kinds of cool stuff. So he said, hey, we're talking about all these different things. That's because this is an interesting guy, and he's got a lot of different things to offer. So go check out his website and see what he's up to. Andy Traub, TakePermission.com. Andy Traub, thank you so much for joining us. And folks, we will be back with a live program in 2 weeks. Next week is the 4th of July, so we'll be running a replay. This is Jim Paris here, as always, to help you make the most of God's money. So long, everybody.
You've been listening to Jim Paris Live. For more information about our program, visit ChristianMoney.com or send an email to jim@ChristianMoney.com. Join us next week for another live program.